the supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive. And make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans. And muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most High. Dear brothers and sisters, listeners of today's special, Salamu Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, which concerns social interaction in Islam. Salamu Alaikum. Today, Thursday, is the 9th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 2nd of Azar, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 23rd of November, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter Ar-Rum, verse 21.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون.
And of his signs is that he created for you from yourselves mates that you may find tranquility in them. And he placed between you affection and mercy. Indeed, in that are signs for a people who give thought.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The issues of love and mercy, in fact, are the clay and the adhesive substance and the constructional materials of the human society, because a society is formed by which one of the individuals of human beings, like a huge and glorious building, which is made of bricks and pieces of stone. If these separate individuals and those different parts do not relate to each other and combine with each other, there will not appear a society or a building. He who has created man for social life has provided this necessary relation in his soul too.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light that guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you.
We're speaking about social interaction in Islam. Today's special says it is interesting to note that in its social program, Islam has paid attention to matters which are not heeded by people and to which they do not attach much value, whereas it is these delicate details which produce great results. For example, the simplest relations of people with each another are chance meetings in the street, on the bus, in the mosques, and schools, and other such places. These contacts seem very important to some people, whereas in Islam, these same contacts should take place under such conditions that may produce kindness, attachment, and friendship. Islam suggests that these simple contacts should be made with cheerfulness, greetings, and, if possible, with handshakes. The Prophet of Islam said, "The worthiest person with God and the people is the one who salutes first."
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Today we are going to talk about social relations in Islam. And what are the recommendations of Islamic teachings in this regard? Contemporary psychologists have considered this counsel of Islam to be a secret of success in life. Albert Hubbard said, "Whenever you go out of doors, draw the chin in, carry the crown of the head high, and fill the lungs to the utmost. Greet your friends with a smile, and put soul into every hand clasp."
Again, Dale Kering said, actions speak louder than words. And a smile says, I like you. You make me happy. I'm glad to meet you. A Chinese proverb says, a man who has no smile on the face should not open a shop. Another important matter, which has been emphasized in personal encounters by the leaders of Islam, relates to warm handshakes. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, when one of you meets your Muslim brother, you should greet him and shake his hand. Elsewhere, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, in your meeting and encounter, your salutation and greeting will be complete when you offer to shake hands and to greet the traveler by embracing. So the first step in the establishment of good relation in a Muslim society is to meet each other in a friendly manner, in normal encounters, and set up this contact on the basis of sincerity and affection. After this stage, we come across Islamic injunctions recommended to Muslims, namely having a heartfelt love for one's co-religionist brethren.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
One of the acts recommended and forbidden in Islam, which are deeply effective in social relation, is forbidding derision of others. To make fun of a fault is to criticize something which is not voluntary or removable, such as the derision of an indigent by a rich fellow or that of an ugly person by a handsome one or a weak by a strong one. This ugly act of making fun of others sows the seeds of hostility in the heart, since the victim is humiliated in the presence of people and is sorely offended. The Holy Quran says in chapter 41, verse 11, O you who believe, let not one people laugh at another people, perchance they may be better than them. One of the indications of the trend of the holy imams towards building good relations with others is that they instructed their followers to gratify others by treating them leniently in matters of humor and disposition. This part is entitled Indulgence. According to an authentic tradition, Imam al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, is reported to have quoted the Holy Prophet as saying, my Lord ordered me to accommodate people with the same fortitude that he ordered me to have in obligatory religious duties. On the other hand, there are some traditions that can be taken to mean that secluding oneself and steering clear of social activities and associations with people could be the most preferred course one might adopt. Imam Ali is reported to have said, blessed is he who confines himself to his house, eats the least food possible, weeps for his sins, tires himself, and others are free of his annoyance.
People who are put in solitary confinement, they actually have, and this is a survival mechanism that's built within us. When you're alone, when you're put in solitude, when you're in solitary confinement, your brain actually has to invent and create imaginary companions. That's why people talk to themselves, that your brain realizes that you're breaking down and that you need human interaction, and your brain actually creates imaginary friends and companions, and you start to talk to them and you start to believe that they exist. You do that because if you don't, you won't survive. You'll have a complete breakdown. Now, when you look at the Islamic tradition, human interaction, social interaction, is not just a matter of physical survival and emotional survival. It's actually much deeper than that. In fact, human interaction, living a healthy social life, is an integral part of our spiritual development. So there's a spiritual component to human interaction and to socializing. In fact, we have a famous hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is a hadith that is widely transmitted in the books of hadith, and it's mentioned in Sunni hadith collections as well as Shia hadith collections. It's a very well-known hadith where the Prophet says, "La rahbaniyata fil Islam." There is no monasticism in Islam. Now, what is the meaning of rahbaniyah? Rahbaniyah is a religious practice whereby a person essentially isolates themselves. They seclude themselves from the wider community and they devote themselves to worship. And they have very limited interaction with the public. You know, in the way that monks live, they have their monasteries, they live there, they live very quiet lives, so they can focus on worship and spiritual exercises. Now the Prophet says, "La rahbaniyata fil Islam," that there is no such thing in the Islamic tradition. Islam categorically rejects this idea that seeking nearness to God, that the most effective way to attain nearness to Allah is to isolate yourself.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for listening to us. That was all for today's special. Till another episode and the continuation of this topic, have a nice time.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here are some words worth pondering upon from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Faith stands on four supports. They are dependence upon God, entrustment with God, submission to the decision of God, and satisfaction with the acts of God. this belief stands on four supports. They are the desire for the worldly pleasures, fear from missing any worldly pleasure, anger, and passion. Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith, which has been transmitted from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. This hadith is about asceticism, which in Arabic we call zuhud. Zuhud or asceticism is, as you know, one of the cardinal Islamic virtues or morals. Asceticism is a disposition. It's a feeling of the soul. And this feeling and disposition, it manifests itself in restraint from the pleasures of this world. This is one of the virtues that Islam advises us to do. Now, let's look at what the Holy Quran says about this beautiful trait. The Quran says, so that you may not grieve for what escapes you or exult for what comes your way. And Allah does not like any swaggering braggart. Now, as you can see in this verse, the Quran clearly describes asceticism as a feeling, a disposition, a disregard for the things of this world. Not only the pains and the grief of this world, but also the pleasures and the happiness and the beauties of this world. Now, in this beautiful hadith, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he describes asceticism and zuhud in a very beautiful manner. Let's look at what he says here in this hadith. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, asceticism is the key to the door of the hereafter. And immunity from the fire. And it is to abandon all those things that preoccupy you from Allah. So here in this hadith, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, first he alludes to the otherworldly result of asceticism. And he defines it, meaning we have to abandon things that preoccupy us from Allah. Neither, what is this result in, this abandoning, or how does it manifest itself? The Imam says, neither experiencing regret upon their loss, nor self-admiration for having abandoned them, nor awaiting deliverance from them, nor seeking praise on account of them, and nor anything else in exchange for them. Rather, you see their loss as a source of comfort and their presence as a source of misfortune, such that you consistently run away from misfortune and seek refuge in comfort. What a beautiful way that the Imam has described asceticism in a disregard for the pains and the pleasures of this world. If something bad happens to a person, he's not saddened by it, he's not disheartened by it. And if something good comes his way, he's not, he doesn't become proud at it. He is not overly, cheerful about it. Rather, he simply gives thanks for this, this blessing and bounty that Allah has bestowed upon him. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at asceticism in the words of Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Assalamu alaikum, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperations with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really happy that we have Ali Nasser here, Hassan Nasrullah, and Hussein Ruhullah, brothers from Sevier International School. So, assalamu alaikum, brothers. Welcome. How are you?
Wa alaikum assalam, sir. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Hassan, how are you?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. And Hussein?
Alhamdulillah, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Good. We all are fine. Hope you are fine, inshallah. Let's get started. Inshallah, today we will talk about Ayah 60 of Surah Al-An'am on page 135. Brothers and sisters, turn to page 135, ayah 60 of Surah Al-An'am. Let's everyone listen to the recitation and then inshallah we will continue.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa huwa alladhi yatawaffakum bil-layli wa ya'lamu ma jarahtum bin النهار ثم يبعثكم فيه ليقضى أجل مسمى ثم إليه مرجعكم ثم ينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون.
Super. Nice recitation. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. First and foremost, let's see what does Allah Almighty say in this ayah. And then inshallah, we'll move on to the tajweed rules and recitation, the same as our previous sessions. Ali Nasir, Hassan and Hussein, do you know about soul?
Yes.
Human being. We have body and we have
soul.
Soul. Okay. So, is the reality of human being with the body or with the soul?
Soul.
With the soul. Okay. All right. Good. In this ayah, Allah Almighty talks about this and gives us beautiful things about our soul, about our reality. Let's see, okay? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah Almighty says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ. It is He means Allah. It is Allah who takes your souls by night. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ. And He knows what you do by day. ثُمَّ يَبْعَثُكُمْ فِيهِ. And then He reanimates you there and يَبْعَثُكُمْ resurrect you. Again, like gives your soul back, okay, to your body. Or sends your soul back to your body. Kind of this way. لِيُقْضَى أَجَلٌ مُسَمَّنْ. So that a specified term may be completed. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ. Then to Him will be your return. ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُكُمْ. Whereat He will inform you بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Concerning what you used to do. Hassan, when you sleep, huh?
Yes.
In bed.
Yes.
So the whole night you're in your bed?
Well, I'm sleeping, yes.
Are you sure? Ali Nasir, what about you?
My body is in my bed, but the soul.
Alright, I wanted to know this, okay. Look, our body is in the bed. Okay, in bed. But are we in bed? Our soul?
No.
We go thousands of places. We go here in this continent, Europe, Australia, America, Africa. We go different places. We go play football. We go score goals. We hold the trophies. We go and study. We go to university. We go to Holy Shrine. We go thousands of places. Allah says what? وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ. He's the one who takes your soul out of your body when you are asleep at night. Okay? Got it?
Yes.
So it means that this is the reason we can prove, okay, one of the reasons we can prove our soul. That soul exists. There are a lot of people who don't believe in soul. Okay? Materialistic. They only believe like we have the body. That's it. The body has a system. Okay? And when body dies, the system dies, and you're over. But Muslims don't believe this way. We believe that the reality is the soul, and we are kind of put in this body, okay? And this we are running. Actually, the soul is running our body. So look, if I'm moving my hand, it's not the body who moves, okay? It's my soul that moves my body. Let me give you a clear example. I learned it from a scholar, from Sheikh Qaraati. He's a great scholar. Look, he says, like, our body and soul is like a car with a driver. Car and driver. So whenever the driver is on the car and he's driving, he accelerates, the car moves. He push the brakes, the car stops. Our soul is like that, okay? Like the driver. So wherever the soul intends to go, the body moves that way, that direction. And whenever the soul's like kind of intends to stop, the body stops. Like when we sleep, like kind of we park the car, okay? We park our body and we get out of the car, and we go here and there, we do our stuff. Okay? Like that, for example, when the driver goes and parks the car, he comes out of the car, yes? That way, look, Allah says, this was just an example to make it clear. Allah says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِالْلَّيْلِ. It's Allah Almighty who takes your soul, okay, from your body during the night. And وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ. And he knows what you do during the day. Look, one of the other messages that we can understand from this ayah is this, that nahar or day is for working. And night is for relaxation, for sleeping, to get comfortable, okay?
Yes.
To take away your, like, if you are tired, exhausted, go take a nap, take a sleep, okay? Take time, sleep, and get rest so that you get ready to work tomorrow, all right? So, but sometimes, unfortunately, some of the people, they do just the opposite, okay? They stay late, okay? They stay up late during the night, and this kind of brings some kind of changes to their body system, and actually, this is harmful. Science has proven that. You should have enough sleep during the night.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن.
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
So, time to mention some tajweed points and practice the recitation. And we will start that by reciting a salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum. Wa huwa alladhi يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ. There are some letters that you should pay attention to their pronunciation. هُ, هُوَ, هَا. Next one.
ذَال.
ذَال, good job.
عَيْن.
عَيْن, يَعْلَمُ.
حَا.
حَا, جَرَحْتُمْ.
ثَا.
ثَا, ثُمَّ يَبْعَثُكُمْ. Good job.
ضَاد.
ضَاد, لِيُقْضَى. And حَمْزَة.
Yes.
ثم إليه ليقضى أجل. A and A are different. So, yeah, these are the letters. You really need to pay attention to them, pronounce them correctly to have a beautiful recitation and correct recitation. وهو الذي يتوفاكم. Make sure the heavy sounds and light sounds. Take care, okay? يتوفاكم فاكم. No. وهو الذي يتوفاكم. This becomes Persian reading. So we are reading Arabic way. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ. So, يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ, if you see, it ends with a meme, which is sakin. يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ. The next word starts with ba. I remember we had a rule for meme sakin. If meme sakin is followed by the letter ba, you... apply the rule ikhfa, hide the sound of me. How do you do that?
Yatawaffakum.
Ahsan, hide the sound of me. Wa huwa alladhi yatawaffakum bil-layl. Alright? So this is the rule of mim sakin. Wa ya'lamu ma jarah. Jara-ra-ra, heavy sound. Jarahtum. Again, mim sakin plus ba. جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ. Noon, مُشَدَّد. How do you read it? جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ. Apply the both rules.
From the first of...
Yeah, yeah. No. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ. Stop at نَهَارِ.
وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ.
أحسنتم. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ. So, بِالنَّهَارِ ثُمَّ مِمْ مُشَدَّدْ. Read that, Hassan. ثُمَّ. How do you extend the sound?
ثُمَّ
أحسنتم ثُمَّ يَبْعَثُكُمْ ba has an echoing sound. يَبْعَثُكُمْ يَا قَلْقَلَ يَبْعَثُكُمْ فِيهِ لِيُقَ لِيُقَ ضَ again قَلْقَلَ here echoing sound لِيُقَ ضَ أَجَلٌ مُسَمَّى tanween will be changed to alif مُسَمَّى حسن there is a sila stopping sign what does that say
the sila tells us that it's better to continue.
Better to continue, but it still can stop. Good job. Yes. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ مَرْجِعُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا again, ميم ساكين plus ba, إخفاء, hiding sound of ميم. ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ again, hide the sound of noon here. Same as hiding ميم sound. تَعْمَلُونَ Ready now to... Repeat after me.
Yes.
Listen to the recitation and repeat. Brothers and sisters, let's practice. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
وهو الذي يتوفاكم بالليل ويعلم ما جرحتم بالنهار
وهو الذي يتوفاكم بالليل ويعلم ما جرحتم بالنهار
ويعلم ما جرحتم بالنهار ثم يبعثكم فيه ليقضى أجل مسمى
ويعلم ما جرحتم بالنهار ثم يبعثكم فيه ليقضى أجل مسمى
ثم إليه مرجعكم ثم ينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون
ثم إليه مرجعكم ثم ينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنتم Allah bless you brothers and sisters dear listeners thank you so much for being with us thanks Hassan Hussein Ali Nasser Inshallah, we'll be here with you in the next coming sessions. Stay with IRB English Radio. Thanks to IRB English Radio, Sevilla International Schools for cooperations. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, in which we try to ask and answer some of the questions related to the Islamic laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we embark on our episode, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jad, hosting this program. I'm Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the studio again.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you for having me on this program.
You're welcome. Well, from the last episode onwards, we've started a series of, episodes or programs, on marriage in Islam, right? And some of the jurisprudential laws related to this important concept.
Well, you kindly told us about the importance of marriage and how Islam, in fact, underscores marriage and advocates it, in fact, and encourages Muslim families, in fact, to consider this and practice this, in fact, in the society. But you also told us about some of the traditions, in fact, regarding the importance of the marriage. But one important question, may cross people's mind or our audience mind, and that is regarding the kind of personal traits or the characteristics that a spouse should have. So what are those traits, what are those features and characteristics can you tell us about the spouse?
That's a very important question. You know, man should give importance to the qualities of a woman he would like to marry. He should not marry a woman except when she is chaste, when she is honorable, of good lineage, righteous, you know, a practicing woman, and of course one who observes hijab, one who prays and fasts, you know. These are the signs of chastity, these are the signs of being a practicing woman. So he should not confine his choice to a woman's physical beauty, a woman's wealth, a woman's, you know, appearance. And of course it has been narrated from the Prophet, peace be upon him, that he said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِيَّاكُمْ وَخَضْرَاءَ الدَّمَنِ قِيلَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهُ وَمَا خَضْرَاءُ الدَّمَنِ قَالَ الْمَرْأَةُ الْحَسْنَةُ فِي مَنْبَتِ السُّوءِ. Now this is a very famous tradition, a very well-known hadith. The hadith says that, O people, beware of the green grass in a west sight. Okay. Someone asked, O Messenger of Allah, and what is the green grass in a west sight? The Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family said, a beautiful woman and an evil environment. Mm-hmm. So, al-mar'atu al-hasna fi manbati as-su'. Now, there are, of course, beautiful women, but every beautiful woman is not a good woman. So, because one should look at her family, at her lineage, at her religion, and the environment she grew up. So, on the other hand, the woman and her guardians should also give importance to the qualities of a man, because it's not a one-sided, approach.
Mm-hmm.
Both the families should take care of the qualities of each other.
Yes.
So a woman should not marry, except a man who is religious, who is of good character, who is not a drunkard, and who sometimes, let's say, commits sins and evil deeds. So, of course, it's very clear, very easy to know about someone's character when one looks at someone's behavior and at someone's manners, conduct
thoughts,
when he interacts with other people.
Yes.
One quickly and knows that whether he is a good person or mm-hmm. whether he is a bad person. So, there's one thing I would like to mention, and that is that in this time around, we see that girls, men do not want to get married because of economic conditions, mm-hmm. or because they want to live a solitary life without getting married. And while this is very bad, it's a very bad phenomenon that we see nowadays in this time around. And according to the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said, إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ خُلْقُهُ وَدِينَهُ فَزَوِّجُوهُ إِنَّكُمْ إِنْ لَا تَفْعَلُوا ذَلِكَ تَكُونُ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ كَبِيرٌ. If someone comes to you whose religion you like, whose personality, whose character pleases you,
mm-hmm.
You have to marry him, okay? If you do not marry him, and in the event that you do not marry him and a mischief occurs, then it is because of you not getting married.
Right.
Yes. because of you not getting married. So it's better not to reject the proposition of a man who is religious and who is of good character and who is a practicing Muslim man.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javed. And thank you. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue our programs on Islamic law on RIB English Radio. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah. Guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Mohan Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest and speaker. The topic we are talking about is hovering around marriage and some of the jurisprudential laws regarding that and the concept of Islam or the doctrine of Islam regarding marriage. Well, Sheikh Javed, you told us about the importance of marriage as well as those characteristics, in fact, before the break regarding a spouse, how to choose or select a spouse, right?
Yes.
One can never marry a person who's not in sound, mind, for example,
sure,
or somebody who's out of their leagues, right?
Yes.
So would you tell us about, some of the traditions concerning the necessity of getting married?
Well, that Islam does not encourage monasticism.
Right.
Monasticism has always been reproached, and those who lived a life of monasticism has always been scolded, reprimanded by Muslim leaders, including the infallible imams. Islam does not want us, on the other hand, to mutilate our genitals in order to be safe, in order to not to fall into sin because of not getting married. We know that the procreation and the continuity of the human offspring depends on marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we get married, we will not have children, we will not procreate, and we will not have any descendants. So this is another reason why marriage is very much important. And I said that, of course, marriage is indeed very much important and very much necessary from the viewpoint of Islam, because it ensures, it guarantees the safety and the protection of our faith. And if we get married, we definitely safeguard our religion, because if we get married, we will not end up falling into a sin. If you ask the young men and young women as to why they have committed a sin, one of the reasons why they fall into a sin is because of the fact that they didn't get married. So if they are, let's say, gazing at other women, let's say if a man gazes at another woman, it is because he is not married. If a man, God forbid, masturbates, it's because he is not satisfied. He is not married. If a man, for example, goes out, to places like nightclubs, is because he's not married. A married man does not do this.
Yes.
And if a man, watches pornography or forbidden things, it's all because of marriage. If he is married, he is obviously, he is satisfied. He does not have any yearning, any longing, any craving for having to satisfy his lust, as we, of course, the narrations I mentioned in one of the previous episodes.
Thank you very much.